The gospel came and saved my life 27 years ago. You can tell I didn't get over it. I have not gotten over it. I am so alive today that sometimes it's a problem. Because that story has nothing to do with the life that's in me. The life that's in me walks me through every story. Gives me a right view of every story. Helps me see my dad clear. Helps me see the passing my brother clear. Helps me to seek God even more concerning my mother and just more of Christ in my life. Yeah? If you buy a microwave and you let the foil on the plate or a fork in the food, what happens when you hit the button? Not happy. Freak you out. You'll hit the stop button real quick. Who's ever done it? Who's by accident put some metal on their plate? Oh, yeah. It gets you quick, ain't it? Well, if you read the manufacturer's handbook, microwaves weren't made to put metal inside. And there's just a way that those waves work or whatever, and metal just causes a problem. And if you continue to put metal in your microwave, what are you going to do to it? You'll destroy it. Well, when I look at the manufacturer's handbook of humanity, the one that made the product, he said, you don't never live for yourself. Now, there's a big blight in America that it's actually not even realized that most people are Christians for themselves. They're Christians for what God can do for them and how he can get them through life. That's why Christians are discouraged. That's why they give up. That's why they backslide, because they never truly front slid. No, it's true. It's not even a joke. Once you slide across home, you can't go back to second. You cross the goal line, they can't put you back on the 20. You got to front slide. You got to understand what you're a part of and why. If you're a Christian to survive, if you're a Christian for your sake, you're not having a blast being a Christian. You're very self-focused, you're very crisis-centered, and you're very circumstance-driven. I'm just telling you, it's the truth. I pastored long enough to know. I'm not being mean, I'm being real. Because the eye is the lamp of the body. And if the eye's single, the whole body's flooded with light. It doesn't say, unless, of course, and run your list. No. It says if you see clear, you'll be clear. Because the eye is the lamp of the body. Your perspective is the main thing. So if you wake up for your name's sake, if you wake up for your own well-being, if you don't wake up for his glory, his image, and to love the world around you, then the world around you all of a sudden isn't even lovable. Now you got issues because people got issues. And I wouldn't feel this way if they didn't. Well, you don't know how. Well, they started it. Well, what do you expect? Well, you ought to be in my shoes. And all of a sudden, we've developed a language to justify being driven by life instead of the giver of it. And we get tricked into a Christianity that serves us without ever changing us. You got to make sure that you're not believing that lie. Because you're on the earth to manifest Christ. You're on the earth to live by his spirit. Listen, no matter where I've been, no matter what I've done in my life, no matter how willful it was, no matter how deceived it was, there came a point in my life where God grabbed the attention of my heart and I gave it to him. No matter where I've been and what I've done, he's already looked past that. He's already washed that away now through the blood. That is remembered no more. Why? Why does he do that? Because the whole time he sees me living that way, he says, that boy doesn't even know who he is. He doesn't even know what I made him for. I know him from the beginning. Forgive him, Father. He knows not what he's doing. And mercy comes and triumphs over what I deserve, called judgment. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes into me, and I literally come back from the dead. And that quick, through one simple act of repentance, he made me a house fit for a king. Moved right on in. Just moved in. Whoop. Life through Jesus Christ. But with that life comes a brand new living way. New eye, new motives, new reason for being. New perspective. If I'm a Christian for my sake, then life's going to eat me alive. I'm still trying to get over missing my brother. I'm still wondering why mom was sick 40 years. I'm still playing charades with theological thoughts. I am not. I have too many answers to cloud my heart with too many questions. There's some things I can't even answer. But there's some things that I know that those questions can never overtake. Questions aren't wrong, but I've seen people get clouded with so many questions, they let it override what their heart knows on the inside. Won't you let that happen to you? He paid an amazing price to put his life in you. Yeah, I'm going to go for this thing because I don't know. I got one shot at you guys. I flew down here for one weekend, so I'm going to go for it, all right? It ain't even costing you nothing. Woo! Free conviction. This is awesome. Usually they're paying for conviction. I'm having so much fun with you guys. Forgive me, I'm just having fun now. If God made man for his image and woman for his image and made him in his own likeness, he can't be talking about a head and arms and legs and a body because God's a spirit. I bet he's talking about his nature, who he is, not what he looks like. Because you don't look like him and you don't look like him. That don't take rocket science. But yet you're both made for his image. Woo! So even though you don't look like him and you don't look like him, you can both look like Jesus. And that's what makes you one. And that's what makes us the body of Christ. I'm getting it now. So it ain't uniformity. It has nothing to do with race, ethnic, culture, background. It has to do with the one that lives inside of you and where you live from.
Yes, Lord.
That's the unity of faith. That's one mind, one spirit, both waking up for the same cause.
Yes.
Different motives maybe in ministry, different burnings and passions in ministry, but yet same goal, live Christ.
Right.
Yeah? Yeah? That's what makes us one.
Amen.
I'm getting it now. This is awesome. So this sounds like what he paid for. How can he say one mind, one spirit, one faith? And not have it fall into uniformity? It's because he's talking about reason for being, perspective, why we all wake up. Look, I settled this in my heart a long time ago. I realized that God made me to love. Not to need love, to be love. Oh, this hit me a long time ago, so I'm coming with it right now, okay? It's something I preach everywhere I go, first night especially. I feel like I need to bring it hard tonight. I want you to understand that 1 Timothy 1:5 says the goal of all our instruction, the purpose of the commandment, is love. The whole reason for the cross is to restore men back to the image of God. We've made the whole purpose of the cross to go to heaven when you die. And we stay the same with a confession, pretty much the same, still touchy, hurt, offended, discouraged, angry, silent treatments to our spouses, making sure everybody knows if we're happy or not, because we matter so much. Ooh, free conviction. Are you all with me? So we actually reveal by the way we conduct our lives that we don't understand what love is because love takes no account of the wrong done to it. So if love takes no account of the wrong done to it, that's Bible. I'm going with Bible. Not psychology. I'm going with Bible. Did Jesus have wrong done to him? Was he treated unjust beyond measure more than anyone ever will be because he was totally pure and totally perfect? And he was treated as if he was totally wrong. And he said nothing. He just gave his life. He didn't drop the cross. He didn't draw a line. There was no straw to break his back. And it impresses me that Jesus is going to Golgotha and they're beating him. He's letting men hit him. And he's God in a man's body, redeeming man. And the whole time he tells us to follow him. What's he saying? Follow this. Don't you draw back. Don't you pull back. Don't you have one straw that breaks your back. It ain't breaking mine. It don't have to break yours. If you don't see it in me, don't let it be in you. I'm a good teacher and I'm showing you the way, not a good idea. Amen. And he's heading to the cross. He ain't stopping halfway there, getting caught in analytical processing. Barabbas, are you kidding me? How offensive. Barabbas. He killed a man. I raised the dead. He causes conspiracy. I'm trying to make peace. They want to release Barabbas and kill me? Forget these people, bunch of idiots. Come on, if they didn't change by now, they're not going to change. How many miracles does a man have to do? I feed their bellies. They track me down. Why? Just because they want fed again. They can care less about what I have to say. Come on, this is all in Scripture. And none of that seems to stop him. He doesn't have enough reasons to not love us. Because he comes to his own, but his own knows him not. And there's sheep without a shepherd, and he's a good shepherd. And when we're seeing him, he's so bold. He said, when you see me, you've seen him. And then he said, follow me, which means we're to look like him too. Amen. Nobody ever told me that in my whole life. When I was a child, I don't think the revelation of the church, I think the church would have said it's impossible. It's not impossible if Jesus said, follow me. If he said the things I do, you'll do if you believe, then belief is the issue.
Amen.
Oh, I'm on it now. I read the Bible. He said, the things I do, you'll do if you believe. We're predestined to be conformed to his image, Romans 8. He said, if any man, 1 John 2 said he abides in him, he ought to walk even as he walked. He didn't say, sing to me and pray to me when you're overwhelmed. He said, follow me. It has to be possible if he said it.
Yes.
I'm on to something. I'm going to be a believer. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to pick up my cross. And I'm going to follow him. And I'm going to cheer on as many people as I can to come with me. You can stay angry if you want. You can stay skeptical if you want. It's your privilege because you have a will. Boy, but you can come running with me because I'm having the time of my life. And if you're hanging out in that other place, I'm telling you, you ain't having the time of your life. I ain't seen nobody blessed and fruitful when they had an attitude. I've seen nobody walk in the light when they're frustrated, angry, in pride, just critical, just, well, whatever. I just think he's a little too emotional. Okay, great, fine, believe that. But are you walking in the light? Are you manifesting Christ? And does your life make people thirsty? Just too easy to criticize and mock and scoff at what you don't understand, the Bible says. James said they'll mock and scoff if they don't understand. Rather than be quiet and get understanding, they'll mock and scoff. That's called pride. Seems to me if you don't understand, you ought to stay quiet till you understand. So you don't speak out of turn.
Whoa.
I just saw something that Jesus revealed the Father, and at the same time told us to follow him. Let us make man in our image. Do you get it? So what's he trying to do? Get us back to who the Father wants to be in us by his Spirit.
Amen.
It's that simple. And we've turned it into a prayer that blesses me instead of transforms me. We've turned it into a prayer that protects me and provides for me and takes me to heaven when I die instead of gives me new life while I live. That's why so many people are discouraged. That's why so many people even have questions towards God, because they've been believing wrong things about God. So now, without even saying it, it's almost like he's here to serve us instead of we're here to live by his Spirit. And now he's set up to fail us. And we don't tip him well because the steak ain't the way I prefer. Are you all right? I'm going to trust you're all right. Come on. I'm on the earth to love, not be loved and need love, but to be love. Where do I get the love that I need? From him. I was made for his image. There's fullness in him. I'm fulfilled in Christ. I find myself in him. Oh, I can show you. It's in Colossians 2. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him. That does it for a believer. Bam, I got it. I'm lacking no good thing. I have everything I need. I have oneness with God. I have right standing with God. I have forgiveness of sins. I have new life through Jesus Christ. I have a new hope, new future, new mercy, new grace. There's nothing stopping me now but belief. So I can wake up in the morning and need you and let you be my barometer. And now I'm only doing as good as you're doing me. And now I have you as the reason I'm not doing good. Or I can just wake up to be like him. I can just wake up to love you, and we got a good day going right now. So if the gospel settles that in me and I'm sincere about what I'm saying, and this isn't just hype, and all of a sudden for 27 years I have this privilege of just waking up and nobody owes me a thing because I'm on the earth for one reason, to manifest him, to walk in the light, to walk in love. Sounds like that answers everything that I've ever had as a heart cry as a man. All of a sudden you can't even break my heart because you're not the one that fixes my heart. My heart's complete. Like, I didn't wake up today for you to love me. That's amazing. That means I'm not needy anymore. You can't break my heart. There's no unspoken thing. There's no chip on my shoulder that's subconscious. There's nothing for you to violate. I'm on the earth for one reason, to love you, because he does. Whether you even know you're lovable, whether you even act lovable, whether you're even half on page. See, I'm supposed to see you like he sees us and say, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. In other words, if they knew what they were doing, they wouldn't be living what they're living. I should have compassion, not frustration. I should have mercy, not anger. I should have righteousness, not self-righteousness and pride, and look down on people. But what we do, we mark people, we weigh people, we read books by the cover, we stereotype people, we see them act a certain way, say a certain way, and then we mark them a certain way. We don't see them for their potential, their destiny, their purpose. We see them for face value. I read in my Bible, you judge no man according to the flesh. Are you with me? That's why I'm intense. I'll tell you what the intensity is. You don't have to believe me. I'm just going to tell you what it is. It's freedom. There's nobody going to put me in a chain anymore. It's not possible to bind me. My wife struggled with identity for 8 years. 8 years I watched her hurt herself, believing wrong things about herself, and it felt like I couldn't even help her. You know what happens when you're in a marriage and your wife's struggling for 8 years? You struggle because she's struggling. I'm not struggling because she's struggling. I'm complete in Christ. I didn't wake up for my wife to owe me anything. I woke up to be like him. So guess what love does? Covers a multitude of sin. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So for 8 years, I'm honored to love her and manifest Christ, not get weary and well-doing and give up and jump ship. Woo! Bringing it right now. Come on! She needs Jesus. She's believing a lie. He lives in me. Now it's the time to be a frustrated husband. Time to love her like Christ loves his church. So you want him to love you in your weakness, but you won't love your spouse in their weakness? We're his spouse. We're to love our spouse like Christ loves the church. It says if a husband loves his wife, watch this, women. Watch this. Pay attention. If your husband loves you, it's because he loves himself. Whoa. I thought he loved me because I'm all that. No, he loves you because he loves himself. He has a healthy view of his life in Christ, and he sees you through that truth. Which means if he doesn't love you and he's having a hard time loving you, it's because he doesn't love himself. But because we need love by our husband, now we're hurting and have a deficit because she has a half-dry cup. Ain't that something? See, we're finding our identity through each other. And we're saying, they ain't loving me the way they're supposed to. So I got this going on now because of it. And the only people that understand you are the people that sympathize with your pain because they know you'd feel that way. They'd feel that way if they were in your shoes. And you call that support? Yeah, support to stay there. 8 years. People say, 8 years, 8 years. What's 8 years? Come on, 8 years has flown by in our lives. Come on, look at this. 8 years! 8 years. Why are you going to let time change truth when his word's going to remain forever? Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but his word. And you're going to let time change truth when truth makes you free? Sounds like a trap to me. Probably ought to wake up all those 8 years and just wake up to love. Just wake up being okay. Instead of pray for me, brother, it's been tough. I got so much on my plate. If she'd just be doing a little better, I mean, a man can only take so much. I mean, it's weighing on me, brother. You can only take so much, brother. You need to keep me in prayer. If she don't get a breakthrough soon, I don't know what I'm going to do. And hurting people understand that language. I'm not being mean. Needy people understand that language. But Christ-focused, single-eyed people don't even know what you're talking about, except they used to live there, so they kind of know what you're talking about. But they don't know what you're talking about, because that ain't the truth, unless your eyes are in the wrong place. If my eye is single, my whole body's what? Flooded with light. Unless, of course, your wife is in identity crisis for 8 years. Doesn't say that. It says, if I see clear, I'll be clear. See, we don't realize how tricked we've been. We all wake up needing love instead of being love. And that's why we have issues among one another. And Paul said, James said, when you have these skirmishes, he said, it's because you're carnal. Paul said the same thing. Paul said, when you have these fallouts, and you're just being carnal. You fight, you can't have, you're just self-centered. These quarrels, this tension. It's because you're thinking for yourselves, not his kingdom. You're certainly not thinking for one another. Why is it so hard to have compassion on her? Because I'm too busy needing her to be something for my day to go okay. But why can't I do what Jesus did and lay down my life for her and call it love?
I bet I can.
Now see, that's where it's either believing or not believing. Because you either want to do that or you don't want to do that. Or you hear this message and you think, well, you're telling me, and she's supposed to be my helpmate. She's supposed to be there for me. She's supposed to be carrying some of this weight too. You better be careful, because if Jesus had that attitude, he'd have never made it to the cross. So how are you going to follow him if you don't think like him? Look, if you can't find that language in his mouth, don't think it's okay in yours. When you squeeze an orange, what do you get? See, you didn't say juice, you said orange juice. You know why? You squeezed the orange. It'd be weird if he'd have said apple juice. You'd all said, what's that dude been drinking? Squeeze an orange, get apple juice? I don't know what world he's living in. Would it be weird to squeeze an orange and get apple juice? Why isn't it weird when you squeeze a Christian and get everything but Christ? That ought to be weird. Wonder if the devil's learned how to squeeze them and show what they believe and don't believe, understand and don't understand. I'll find their motive out. I could care less if they attend church 7 days a week. I'll squeeze them and find out what they see. Just a little squeeze here and a little squeeze there. After 4 or 5 squeezes, next thing you know, you're throwing in the towel. God mustn't love you. What'd I do wrong? Why ain't he protecting me? All of a sudden, you're a dead giveaway. It's been about you from the beginning. Oh, this is straight up. I flew all the way here just to tell you this with a smile. Can you tell how friendly I am? I'm friendly. I'm not mad at nobody. I'm having the time of my life. See, that's the thing. There ain't nothing you can do about this. You're too late. Shoot me. You just put me in his lap. What can you do to me now? I see it. It's freedom. I'm done living for me. It's a wretch. Selfishness is a wretched lie. I've never seen it produce an ounce of life. Destruction on every end, the way that seems right to a man, seems right. That's the problem. It seems right. And you can get even a couple people to agree with you, but it doesn't produce life. So you look at the fruit of how you're thinking and what it's producing, you'll see if it's God. Because you know them by their fruit. So you got to look at what a thing's producing to see if you're on track. Yeah? So in those 8 years, if I'm thinking some other way towards my wife, and all of a sudden it's a detriment, all of a sudden I'm weary and well-doing, all of a sudden I'm just an overburdened man, all of a sudden I just don't have my wife, and now I'm feeling sorry for myself, and I can't believe she can't be stronger, and why, God, don't you change her, and why don't you give her strength to help me, because now I'm weak, God, why don't you, God, where are you, God? The fruit of that gives it away. My eye's not single anymore. I'm starting to think about me now. What about me? What about how I feel? When do I catch a break? Boy, if Jesus thought like that, he ain't never making it to the cross. Come on. This is how wretched self-centeredness is, guys, and we think it's normal because it's all we've known from the time we were born, because we were born into Adam, and you must get born again. We turned it into a prayer that takes me to heaven when I die. Instead of the answer of new life through Jesus Christ in a brand new wineskin to hold this new wine. Yeah? Come on, I'm calling you to something tonight. The goal of our instruction is love. Let's stop hurting each other in the name of Christ and saying we're Christians. I'm not saying we're not Christians. I'm saying in all our getting, get understanding. Why are we hurting each other? Let's see what it is. Let's get out of rightness and live in righteousness. Let's start understanding it's a lack of love. That's what's hurting each other. It's not tit for tat. He said, she said, well, if they didn't, well, I wouldn't. If they didn't, well, how come? Well, don't talk to me. That has nothing to do with it. It's the absence of love. Because love takes no account of the wrong done to it. Why? Because it doesn't seek its own. Be straight with me. Can you be discouraged if you're not self-centered? If all you're seeking is the kingdom, and you're seeking first for the kingdom and the well-being of others, and you've laid down your life for the cross and you're following him, where do you find discouragement in that? Was Jesus discouraged? Was he hurt or was he hurting? There's a difference. Are you with me? How can I be offended unless I have self-centeredness in my life? It says, if God loved us this way, ought we not love one another? For if anyone loves, he has no cause for stumbling because of his brother. In other words, there's nothing his brother can do to cause him to stumble because he loves now. He's free. Amen. And love doesn't seek its own. Yay. You get it? It's the goal of our instruction. It's what we're called to. Could you imagine in your home if you would wake up in the morning? People say, yeah, but it takes a lot for a home, and a marriage is 50-50. That depends what counselor you talk to. But if you talk to the Word of God, marriage is I love you. If marriage is 50-50 and a lot of work, then the Bible's not right. When I read my Bible, it's I see myself for who I'm created to be, and God showed his first love, and man, I love him now. And in that place, I got a healthy identity, and now I look at my wife and see her through truth for the first time. And all of a sudden, I lay down my life to love her because I value her because I see how God sees me. So guess what I do for my wife now? I love you. So when I wake up, she doesn't owe me a thing. That's our marriage for 27 years. And guess what she does? She loves me and honors me because of it. She doesn't feel pressured. She's not in an obligatory relationship. She doesn't have duties to fulfill. She's just there to be valued and beloved, and it brings out the best in her. Now she sees first love, now she loves. It's the way God intended from the beginning. We're trying to make it work. He's saying, how about become it? We're trying to pull it off.